getting the distinctions as well as the relationship between law and grace dialed in. The Apostle Paul does a great job of helping us with that here in Romans chapter 4. Hi there, and welcome once again to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We are back in Romans chapter 4 as we continue our journey through this amazing letter to the church at Rome. O God, to us, show mercy is the title of our message today. Remember, at the close of our program, I'll have information about our Ligonier Conference, the regional Ligonier Conference hosted by the URC Church here in Escondido with Pastor Chris Gordon. More at the close of the program, but for now, here's Chris in today's broadcast.
Imagine the first worship service out on Mount Sinai, and God comes down. You ever read that first worship service in Exodus 19? Here's the Lord. I want you, Moses, to set bounds around the whole mountain. In other words, boys and girls, you would see no trespassing signs. Yellow tape all the way around. And you would read big signs that said, keep out. Authorized access only. Moses, I want bounds around all the mountain, and if anyone, even a beast, so much as takes a finger and touches the mountain, I want you to place archers over there, and I want you to shoot them with bows. They are to be killed. They are to immediately be shot or stoned. You shoot arrows. So the Lord says, when the trumpet sounds, just come near the mountain. Just come near. This is what we read in Exodus 19. It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. I don't know if I can really communicate the horror of this. The Lord descended upon it, and it was a beautiful, sunny Southern California day, and all of a sudden everything went black. And this black, ominous cloud comes down, and the whole sky turns black. And what you saw when you looked up was like the smoke of a furnace on the top of the mountain. It was awesome. And this column of fire is blazing up. This is what they're seeing. Lightning is flashing everywhere. Add to this, all of a sudden the trumpet begins to sound, and it gets louder, and it gets louder to the point where they can barely endure the sound of it. And then it begins to thunder, and the earth starts shaking under their feet. And they are, if I can describe it, in holy terror this moment. Hebrews describes this in chapter 12, and it says that the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words made the hearers beg that no messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure what was, lo and behold, commanded. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. They shook violently. What did God come to do on Sinai? Give the law. Immediately after the giving of the Ten Commandments, do you know what you have immediately after that? Exodus 20. They cry out, don't let God speak to us lest we die. Moses, you speak. And the amazing thing before the giving of the law was, remember what Israel swore the oath? All the words of the covenant we will do. And before they've even departed to the promised land, they're already holding up a calf, breaking the first and the second commandment, saying, this is the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now I raise all that tonight, and I go through that quickly. Because if we could ever say that God's promises are based on human works, according to the law, what's the problem? Paul says it in verse 15. The law brings wrath. The law brings wrath. Why? Well, because the basic purpose for which God gave His law was to expose what? Sin. This is what Paul's been saying the whole time. This is why Paul said, I wouldn't even have known covetousness unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet. This is the woman at the well where Jesus comes and He exposes idolatry. She didn't see it until she was confronted with, don't do that. And it awakened it. And Paul will say that God put Israel under the law to stop the mouth of the world in its own righteousness. You see, this is where the Galatian church got all messed up. And I believe they look carefully at the Sinai phenomenon of the giving of God's law, and they do what many well-meaning Christians do today, and they started saying, well, hey, in the covenant of grace, we've got to do our part. And then we come to the Apostle Paul, and what we find is shocking. He sees these two covenants and two different principles operating in these covenants, doesn't he? Radically different between what happened with Abraham and what happened on Sinai. And he addresses what he knows would be the objection. In Galatians 3, he says, and he knows this, he goes back to Abraham. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. And listen to this. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, after Abraham, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ. Notice what he says, that it should make the promise of no effect. What does that mean? I know you're struggling, Paul says to the Galatians, to accept what I'm saying, that no one is justified by the law, for the just shall live by faith. But you see, the law is not of faith. The law made on Sinai 430 years later, after the covenant of grace was cut with Abraham, that law doesn't annul what was done. It doesn't throw out the gracious, unconditional covenant that God made with Abraham, the covenant of grace. For if the inheritance is of the law, well, this is what he says, it's no longer of promise. See the distinction? God gave it to Abraham, Paul says, by promise. This is so beautiful tonight. I know it's a little heavy, but this is the basic point. Paul says in verse 15, the law brings wrath, for where there's no law, there's no transgression. The law came 430 years later, and what Paul just said is this. Abraham was placed in a situation when God made His promise in the covenant of grace, the law hadn't even yet come. And why is that important? It demonstrates to all of us tonight that the promise that He would inherit the world, the promise of gospel, the promise of Christ, the promise of salvation, was all by faith according to the principle of grace. So that we'll never look to the law to try to fulfill it. And that's why when you have this strange covenant in Genesis 15, if you can imagine that animals were broke open and there was a row cut in the middle. And what did Abraham do? Did he swear anything in that? Abraham's asleep. And the Lord passes through to declare He will fulfill everything that needs to be accomplished for our righteousness. And that's the gospel. God made this promise to Abraham. The question that Paul is saying is, after all that, didn't come by the law. How did he receive it? He says in verse 16 that the way this promise was received was by faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be what? Sure. I love that. You can't say sure if you put law in there. But you can say sure when you have grace there and faith. That is so beautiful. If you get that, you understand the gospel so powerfully. And Paul wants us tonight to look at Abraham and say, okay, brothers and sisters, what do we really learn from the life of Abraham? What does faith look like? What does God desire of us? What is the kind of response that gives him the most glory? Well, I did my dictionary lookup of faith, and I was amazed at what I saw. One man said, a man consists of the faith that is in him. Whatever his faith is, he is. Another man wrote, what is faith but a kind of begetting or a speculation after all? Another one wrote, faith is a stiffening process of a sort of mental starch which ought to be applied as sparingly as possible. Another said this, faith is before all and above all wishing that God may exist. What does Father Abraham show us? What does Father Abraham teach us about how he received the promise of eternal life and was sure? I want you to notice verse 20 tonight. He grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God. I believe it's amazing that Paul raises the issue of God's glory here that gets right passed over in this discussion. What is the way that brings God the most glory? God comes to Abraham, makes this promise. With all appearances, the promise was an impossibility, by the way. Look at the sand of the seashore, the stars of the heaven. That's going to be your descendants. What? Faith, the Heidelberg says, is what? Oh, we study this, don't we? It's a knowledge and a conviction that everything God reveals in his word is true. It's a deep-rooted what? Assurance. Created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that out of sheer grace earned for me by Christ, not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven and have been forever made right with God and have been granted salvation. Promise. Whenever we believe his promises, you know what we're saying about him? We're saying something about him. We're saying something about him, his power, his ability, his provision. We would know nothing of salvation, the cross, Christ, redemption, the character of God, if he had not spoken. Because of the awful predicament of the human race, had God not taken it upon himself to give this by promise that it might be according to grace, none of us would be saved. So what glorifies him? You know what glorifies God the most in your life? Believing him at his bare word. Boys and girls, believing him. Paul says, look at Abraham. Let me show you this for just a second and we'll close. What was promised to Abraham was far beyond what reality seemed to say. Two things should deeply move you about what Abraham, it says about Abraham. Verse 18, Abraham, contrary to hope, believed. He became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. How does Paul characterize Abraham? Here's a man who in that culture had no children. He was a nobody. It was actually a very shameful thing. Abraham had come from pagan Ur of the Chaldeans. God changes his name, calls him Abraham. He did not waver in unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Why? Because he was fully convinced, notice this, that God was able to perform what he promised. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. You were to go through the life of Abraham, you see this life that's just tested. We're going to do that, Lord willing, down the road. Humanly speaking, everything God promised to Abraham seemed impossible. From him, the seed would come. He's how old? His wife is how old? They're dead. Their wombs are her womb is dead. Yet Abraham believed God. Isaac came. Lord says, I want you to take him. I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham doesn't say what? He goes. And Hebrews tells us that Abraham believed that if God did allow that to happen, he would raise him from the dead. Because that promise was sure. And Paul says in verse 20 that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. I believe This is the kind of childlike faith that makes no sense to the world that God is after. You may think, I don't feel very victorious in the Christian life. You know, I read this and I think, boy, I complain. I mean, you know, I complain about everything. And I seem to stumble easy. Well, if you look carefully at the life of Abraham, he did a lot of stupid things. But Paul is saying here, and I want you to understand that not wavering at the promise, not weakening in what he believed, does not translate to a sinless life. He struggled. But I think Calvin is so helpful here when he says, even though we experience weakness from sin, this does not extinguish faith itself. For the mind is never so illuminated, but that many relics of ignorance remain. The heart is never so strengthened, but that much doubting clings to it. Hence, with these vices of the flesh, ignorance and doubt, the faithful, you guys are going to have a continual conflict. And in the conflict of their faith, it is often dreadfully shaken and distressed. Listen to what he says. But at length, it comes forth victorious, so that it may be said to be strong, even in weakness. Every time Abraham struggled, you know what God would do for him? And this is where we come back to the issue of God sending his son, who is our chief prophet. You know what God would do? He would come to Abraham when Abraham messed up, and he would assure him and confirm his word every time. And isn't that what the Lord's done for you today? You come out of these weeks and you've done stupid things. And here the Lord comes to you and he assures you in his word and he speaks words of promise to you. He assures you of his grace and his love. And what does that incite in us? It holds us. It keeps us. This is what the Lord was constantly showing us in the Gospels. When we feel like nothing's happening, when we feel like daily life is mundane, and we're tired of the routine of it all, when it seems that everything is contrary to hope and we feel like giving up, when it seems that God's promises are not coming to pass, the Lord is telling us what delights him and that he helps us, that we would live in trust and childlike faith in his promises that are so sure that he has said that we have the forgiveness of sins, we're justified by faith, and we have everlasting life. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that? I want to close with this. You don't know the name of Derek Tolsma. He's the young man who I went to Linden to do his funeral. 28 years old, he died. Family, two kids, wife. It was a tough funeral. He, from birth, had a lung issue. And it just slowly kept getting worse and worse and worse. Derek Tolsma had nothing. Derek Tolsma, by the time he was 28, his body was out. He had the body of a 90-year-old. Derek Tolsma, his mind, because he couldn't get oxygen to the brain, couldn't memorize much of anything. I worked with him to do a profession of faith. He had no money, no body. The mind was limited. And every year he would get thrown into sickness. He would go in the hospital, and in that hospital, he would really wrestle with why the Lord had let this happen to him. But I'll never forget that at the very end of his life, before I'd left to come here, that Derek said, you know, the doctors were in there, and the family was really worried because they thought that was it. And this happened for 5 or 6 years. And the nurses were standing there, and he says, are you scared? This is a man who had nothing. He was a nobody. And he said, no, because I know that Jesus has saved me. And I know where I'm going. And I look at Derek Tolsma and I think, childlike. He didn't come trying to offer up works. He couldn't do anything. But that life told us a story of the gospel. No strength in himself. Simple, childlike trust in God's promises. And 1 John says, that's so important for you. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Know what it is? Our faith. That gift of God. Who is he who overcomes the world? but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Here's what I love about how all this ends tonight. Paul has said, great Father Abraham, great hero of the faith, is an example and teaches us about justification by faith alone. And then he says, but you know what? I'm not telling you that for his sake. I'm telling you that for you. Pastorally, isn't it? He says, but the words, verse 23, it was accounted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. You didn't see that done. You don't see the physical body. But those who believe by faith, the Lord wants you to know tonight that you share in the same faith of Father Abraham, and you are counted as righteous, never to know his judgment. Paul wants you to believe that. The Lord is calling you to believe that and not to work for it. It's hard for us to simply rest and trust in the Son. That is the life, beloved, that glorifies him. That alone is the greatest way we can glorify him. By his grace, trusting his promises. Do you believe? Then I say tonight that you share in the same promises as Father Abraham, which the Lord has said to you, they're all yes and amen, because they come to us solely by his wonderful grace. Amen. Oh Lord our God, we are thankful that you care to teach us and instruct us in the way of salvation. And we have seen this problem, and we see it in our own hearts, of trying to work for our salvation, thinking that by fulfilling the law or doing our part in the covenant that we've earned it. We know that Christ has satisfied and come to be the mediator and come to satisfy the demands and take on and fulfill all righteousness, that we today might enjoy a covenant of grace. Thank you for the wonderful news of salvation. And as we are tried and tested and afflicted, may we always believe and not lose heart, not doubting, knowing that you are faithful to accomplish all that you have said in your word. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Well, we are out of time. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Chris and an exciting announcement about an upcoming conference being held at Escondido URC that Pastor Chris is a part of. In the meantime, if you have questions or comments about the program today, we would invite you to reach out to us. Now, there are several ways that you can do so. You can visit our website, agradio.org. It's there that you will also find links to some of the other platforms that we are on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And again, that's agradio.org. Past programs can be found there as we archive all of our broadcasts at that website. If you have other questions or concerns, maybe you'd like to partner with us financially, reach out to us by phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. As promised, now once again, here's Pastor Chris with an exciting announcement about an upcoming regional Ligonier conference hosted at the URC Church in Escondido. Chris?
This will be a really enjoyable conference. I don't know if any of the listeners, I'm sure you're familiar with Ligonier Ministries. They have been, that was where R.C. Sproul was a great influence for years and a teaching place for him. One of their regional conferences they're going to host here in Escondido, and the speakers will be W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and then I will be able to give a session too. So that'll be on May 13 and 14. So that's coming up. The title is If the Foundations Are Destroyed. And that's kind of based in Psalm 11. The talks here will be a wonderful help to those who come. Derek Thomas will be delivering one titled The Lord is Our Refuge. Dr. Godfrey will be speaking on When the Foundations Are Destroyed. looking at that from Psalm 11. So we want to encourage you, if you'd like to come to the conference, again, that's May 13 and 14, sign up at www.agradio.org. And there is a banner there that's posted on the website, link you right to Ligonier Ministries to sign up for the conference. So do please make use of that on our website at agradio.org.
And then come back and join us again next time as our studies in the Word of God will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.